evening.
Good evening.
We have to practice that. That sounded pretty lame.
Good evening.
Say good evening, Pastor Greg.
Good evening, Pastor Greg. It's hard to be at home. We've got to learn how to do it.
Oh, well, good evening, most right-wing Bishop Greg. All right, well, let's serenade the folks coming online and walking in on a hot, humid Ohio summer day, but it's not as big a deal as the news media is making out to be. I always said, you know that the brainwashing is real whenever they turn summer into a mass hysteria event. Over in London, over in England, in Europe, they are getting hot temperatures, but it's not the first time it's ever got that hot.
It happened and, about 5 years ago.
Well, someone showed a picture, too, not only the fact it happened 5 years ago, but when it did happen, the map was green, the little suns were yellow. It was just, they showed the temperatures. Now, the map is red. The sun that they're using has, like, things dripping off of it. They're playing music in the background. Which is the news media. The news media is all about propaganda, not really telling you the news. Fear-mongering. They say that we're fear-mongering when we preach on true things like hell, you know.
Yeah.
But we're not fear-mongering, it's the truth.
They haven't figured it out, that's their final destination.
Yeah.
They keep
going. 183 in the hymn book. Faith of our fathers. Faith of our fathers living still. Church I grew up in. I'm sure they probably did, but I heard this. It was in a Bing Crosby Christmas movie, and he sang it. And then I got the CD, and it was on there. And then I realized it was in our hymn book. I'm like, wow, let's sing that one. So, what they did? That's right, singing about their own history. Well, howdy.
Howdy. Hi, Annie. Hello, Ezra. Hello,
Mommy. Ezra. Was Ezra BYOT today? Bring his own toys? Bring your own toys to church. All right, let's sing 290. Now, this one is to the same tune of a Christian home, so you'll recognize the music. 290, Be Still My Soul.
Oh, that's a good one.
River, gather with the saints at the river.
www.highwayproftonmail.com.
This is a big pop on,
Jenny, could you pass the prayer card down? I think, oh, Jenny's right behind you. I didn't see her back. Unless she's downstairs.
No.
Raise your hand if you have a, if you'd like a prayer card, and she'll bring that and pencil right along to you. You want to, you can open your Bibles up. This one. You can open your Bibles up to Amos.
There we go. Good.
There it is. We're sticking together. Amos chapter 5. All right, how we standing back there? Everything good? Well, I guess I got to get this on before you know. All right. Camera's all zoomed in and ready. All right. Well, there's a reminder. Stephen, did somebody help you to figure out your phone? That. Sunday is July 24th. It will be Christmas Eve in July.
Yay!
We'll have some Christmas decorations. If you hang around with us tonight, we're going to put a few things up. We don't put it all out, but we just put enough to make it look festive. Then you can wear your Christmas stuff.
Yay!
Most of you got the memo about wearing blue today, but make a note, wear your Christmas. Some of you, you know, get cold in 80-degree weather, so you could wear your ugly sweaters if you want. But I won't be wearing a sweater. But I've got some other Christmas. Funny, you pretty much wear red and green, and everybody think it looks Christmassy.
Amen.
So we'll sing some Christmas songs and eat Christmas food.
Ooh.
Not a full-blown meal, but just some snacks and things. All right, hold your questions and comments to the end of the Current Events Update. Number one, we're going to look at some videos and snapshots of the left's ongoing efforts to destroy America. Right now, there are things that we're keeping an eye on as far as having a bigger prophetic influence on the current situation. But the main thing we as Christians here in America are watching is the destruction of our Constitution, the end of our constitutional republic, the adoption of Marxism, the adoption of Sodom, and the cult of death, or culture of death. The House Democrats blocked a Republican resolution condemning violence at churches and pregnancy centers. Now, people say, you get too political, because I do pick on the Democrat Party a lot. I'll say things about the Republicans, and those of you who have been around long enough, you know I'll tell the truth. I don't care whether it's a Democrat or Republican. But I'll just tell the Democrats, if you don't want me to pick on you so much, stop being so evil.
Amen.
Yes.
Stop being so satanic.
Amen.
A resolution condemning violence against churches and pregnancy crisis centers shouldn't be an issue that you have to block. It's a no-brainer for anyone with any decency. But they did. Then you have this queer Buttigieg, who is head of the Department of Transportation or something like that. And he says high gas prices will incentivize people to go green. Just in case you don't believe
me. The more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles.
Yeah, people can afford stuff.
Well, they're going to try to force everybody who wants a car. You won't be able to afford the gas. That would just come out of the tax money, so there ain't nothing free.
Yeah, I know.
Then you have the AOC Marxist female New York congresswoman was being handcuffed as she fights for the right to murder babies. And this is the video of it. See her there? Yeah, they zoomed in. Doesn't she look handcuffed? Does she? Look at that. Now, how does she do that? She's handcuffed, and suddenly she can do this. I mean, let's say it one more time. That's just too good. Smiling. She looks so persecuted. Communist fist in the air. They lie, distort, and stage and misrepresent. The whole January 6th was a staged event, by the way. The whole thing staged. Ray Epps is a Fed. The FBI was involved. The Capital City police officers opened the doors and escorted people in. Everybody saying that it's an insurrection, including your own mother, as she says it, is full of it. They're liars. And that's what we're living with, and it's not something to take lightly because they're eventually going to take away your freedoms. And the leftist communist Biden administration continues to flood the U.S. with illegals. This is done on purpose. They're trying to wreck the system. They're a bunch of traitors who should be tried for treason, and if found guilty, they should hang.
Amen.
That's not me. That's the Constitution that says that. And that's not just politics. That's Romans 13, 1 to 5. This system was set up by God. You go against the system, you go against God.
Amen.
He said that that you receive unto yourself damnation. That's not Greg saying that. That's not some right-wing politician saying that. That's God saying that. God says that when you go against the God-ordained government, you receive unto yourself damnation. He says that that power does not carry the sword in vain. Everybody's just watching this stuff and just letting it happen. I mean, I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking about people who claim to be conservatives and Republicans who are elected to power, have places of authority, and they're just letting it happen. Now, just a few days ago, and by the way, you see back there, just the line just keeps going on. They filmed that for like an hour of people just keep going across.
Where is that?
Down on the border of Texas, Rio Grande. But a growing number of Republicans, do you see that?
Yep.
A growing number of Republicans support Sodom.
Yeah.
You have a whole segment of the Republican Party called Log Cabin Republicans. They're becoming more and more mainstream.
Yep.
You have your mainstream conservative media I guess organizations like The Blaze from Glenn Beck, and they have homos on there, conservative homosexuals all the time. Dave Rubin is one of them that you see on there. They have them on Daily Wire, PragerU, all those. They're starting to feature homosexuals who are conservative. They're conservative fiscally, but they're not conservatives in the true sense of the word. And 47 Republicans in the House joined the Democrats to pass a bill supporting same-sex marriage.
Wow.
Same-sex marriage was legalized illegally by the Supreme Court a few years ago. Was that June of 2013, I believe? 15. And that was a Supreme Court decision, just like Roe v. Wade, where they made it up. It's not really there. And so now they're panicked because since they overturned Roe, they're saying, well, they're going to overturn all of our other fictitious laws and rights.
Yes.
See, they claim these rights are in the Constitution, and they're not. There's no right to abortion in the Constitution. There's no right to gay marriage. And what is not specifically outlined in the Constitution belongs to the states. Gay marriage, as it's called, sodomite fake marriage, is an issue for the states according to our law. And so now what they're saying is, well, we need to put it in law through the legislature so that we won't have to rely on the Supreme Court. And so 47 House Republicans join. Now, Troy Balgerson, who is the congressman for this area, voted against it. You just need to know that. But it includes our congressman, where we live, Mike Carey. And he voted in support of it. Why? Because he's a bald-faced liar. He was elected by telling people he was going to stand for the conservative values. Mike Carey, you're a bald-faced liar. I'll never vote for you again.
Amen.
Same thing with Rob Portman. If Rob Portman run again, I wasn't going to vote for him. And I'll be writing Mike a letter. I won't call a man like that honorable. I don't call liars honorable.
Amen.
He's a dishonorable way of getting elected, to lie to people about what you're going to do when you get in office. And he won't. I knew there's something wrong with him. He wouldn't stand up for Americans when it comes to this COVID scam and this COVID vaccine scam. And when they're firing tens of thousands of our servicemen and women because they won't get a shot, Mike Carey sold them down the river.
Wow.
Wouldn't stand up for them. Tom Massey down in Kentucky and a bunch of other guys joined together to pass a bill to protect those servicemen and women. And Mike Carey, just like he's either a coward or just a rhino, but he didn't say a word and didn't get involved. Number two, many who fight do win, though. And we've seen wins. Roe v. Wade being overturned is a win. It does happen. Southwest Airlines flight attendant was fired for her pro-life beliefs, and she won a $5.1 million lawsuit.
Yeah.
A former Southwest Airlines flight attendant won a $5.1 million federal lawsuit in which she argued that she was fired by her former employer for opposing abortion and the use of union dues to support abortion-related causes. If you are in a union, the law states that you can tell them that you don't want your money going to their left-wing causes, political causes. And they refused to honor her request. And because she fought it, they fired her. But the judge ruled that Carter will receive that $5.1 million in combined compensatory and punitive damages against Transportation Workers Union of America and Southwest Airlines, after the jury concluded that her termination was unlawful.
Amen.
So, just like Paul in the book of Acts, who appealed to Caesar, we are to abide by the law. Romans 13, 1-5 means that when your constitutional rights are violated, then we support ministries like Alliance Defending Freedom. There's the American Center for Law and Justice, there's the American Family Law Association, the Pacific Justice Institute, Liberty Council. There's all kinds of these legal ministries that support and defend Christians who are being abused, and they win most of their battles. And there's this, then another win. Abortions in Georgia, they have a heartbeat law like ours, and the court said it can go into effect. So babies will be saved by the heartbeat bill in Georgia. So what do you do? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to end up in court, but whatever the battle is, you better fight now, because after this life is over, the need to fight is also over.
Amen.
Fight now, because after this is over, the fight is over. We're going to serve the King. He's going to rule with an iron fist, a rod of iron. And he's not going to allow rebellion. And he's going to, and what will end up happening is that rape will almost disappear.
Amen.
There might be an exception that happens, but as soon as it's happening, it'll be stopped. Child molestation, there'll be no such thing as pornography or child porn. There'll be no sex trafficking.
Amen.
There'll be no more abortions. They'll stop killing all the old people. They won't have vaccines. They won't have mandatory anything by the government other than righteousness. All right. So I'm looking forward to that. Jared?
Back to that point where you were saying that people think he's fear-mongered by telling the truth about hell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I've heard that, and they can't say one way or another what the noise was.
Yeah.
It was real.
Yeah, it sounded like real. You heard like people with different languages crying out their names, even if it's not white, pink, or German.
Yeah. And the point, too, is that this book that tells us all about that place hasn't been wrong yet. You're making quite a gamble to think that it's going to be wrong on hell when it hasn't been wrong on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Whose hand over here? I see Jill.
Did you hear about the Indiana Mall where...
Greenwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy killed two people and then another civilian walked in. And
I think there's a total of four that died, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was him himself. He killed... All right, you're right. He killed three people and then... The civilian walked in and shot the shooter.
It was a 22-year-old concealed carry young man. And they at first said it. He took him, he came in about 2 minutes after the shooting started. They are now saying it was 15 seconds.
Wow.
So if you think about waiting on the police to show up, there would have been dozens dead.
Right. Yep. He had all sorts of bullets.
When seconds count, the police are only minutes away. Do you get that?
Yep.
When seconds count, the police are only minutes away. That's why you gotta carry, and if you don't like guns, just, you know, get pepper spray, get whatever you can carry and feel comfortable with.
Carry a crossbow.
Carry a crossbow, yeah. Yeah. That would be I was thinking that. Yeah, compound bow, yeah. Mark?
As he came in, he was signaling people to go back to where they came from, you know, using hand gestures or whatever. He saved a lot of lives doing that.
And you know what's sick? And this is what tells you what the left in this country, I'm telling you, it's not politics. It's Satan. The left, including the news media, there were people on the news media who were upset about the fact they called him a good Samaritan.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fact that he protected unknown numbers of people being shot and killed angered the culture of death on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And there, one guy posted it went viral, I think it was on Twitter, and it was mostly people telling him how stupid he was, but he went on there and saying, you know, imagine a man carrying a gun to the mall. What kind of man does that? What kind of person carries a gun to the mall? And I just put on there and said, don't leave home without your gun, Luke 22:36.
Yep.
If you go anywhere without a gun, then you're saying, shoot me! That's why our schools and everything, they're gun-free zones. It's insanity. They should call them gun-free slaughter zones. If you ever want to kill a bunch of people, go to a gun-free zone. That's why they do. When's the last time a guy walked in a place, you know, like an NRA convention to shoot people? There's a reason why. Yeah.
I was just going to say that, you know, if you have a flock of sheep and there's wolves around, if you don't have sheepdog around to keep the wolves away, all the sheep will get killed.
Yeah, it's common sense.
Scary dogs that are going to kill the wolves when they approach.
It's like Charmaine's guardian. Shoot the guardian to guard their goat flock.
One.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, I read a book by Tal Brook years ago, and he talked about how the one world elitists want to get the population down to 550 million. This is one way that they're doing it. I think a lot of this is encouraged by these people to do this.
Well, you know, all you have to do is what our founding fathers warned us about. If you take God and the Bible out of schools and out of the politics, out of your life, you know, the First Amendment does not say anything about a separation between church and state. The only thing the First Amendment says is there's not going to be an established religion. In other words, there's not a state church.
Right.
Everything beyond that is a lie. Taking the Bible out of school is based on a lie. Taking prayer out of school is based on a lie. The idea that you're not supposed to talk openly about your faith. Ask yourself, why does everybody else get to talk openly about their faith except for Christians? Because the spirit behind that is Antichrist. And that's why I've always, you know, I was a troublemaker before I got saved. I just decided after I got saved, I'd continue being a troublemaker. I just switched sides. And ever since then, I've been making as much trouble as possible. Now, I don't go in to make trouble, but once I see the spirit of Antichrist, then I'm going to make trouble. And I'm going to keep doing it until I don't have any more breath. And all I'm trying to do is get as many people on the actively engaged in the battle as possible. You know, and I hope you're doing the same thing. All right. With that, we'll get into our Bible study. We're going to open with a word of prayer before we get into study. Ask Brother Brian back there, if you would, to open Bible study prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this evening. Thank you for this current events update so that we may be continually updated and aware of all the things that are going on that are in opposition to you and things that that are wins for the good side, Lord. This is just a reminder that we should always be vigilant and be doing our own reading and research. And Lord, thank you for this time that we can spend together and learn from each other. To learn from your word, most importantly,
it's in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's line up our readers. Genesis 8, 20 to 21. Stephen?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Jane? Philippians 4, 18 and 19. Jill? John 4, 23 to 24. Jessica? Acts 7, 42 to 43. Charlie? 2 Kings 15, 27, 29. Jared? And that's it. Six. I was thinking I had seven. Everybody got yours? 2 Kings 15, 27, 29 was Jared's. Acts 7, 42, 43 is Charlie's, and so forth. Everybody else I've got. All right. The noise of thy songs. Amos 5, 21 through 27. If you're there, we're going to read all those verses, 21, 27, and I'll have you join me in the odd. So let's start together in verse 21. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take now away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But have ye borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves? Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Amen. First verse read, 21. Look at these first two words. I hate. Allow me to introduce America to the God who hates certain things.
Amen.
America has a lovesick, fake God. He's an imbalanced false God. He's a God created in the image of Oprah or the image of Mr. Rogers or the image of whoever. But it's not the biblical God. The biblical God is balanced. He loves and he hates. There are certain things he loves, certain things he hates. Here he says that he hates hypocrisy. God hates fakes. That's what a hypocrite is. I hate, I despise your feast days. Why? Because it was just, it didn't mean anything to these people. And they had perverted them. They were doing all kinds of things on their feast days they shouldn't be doing. God only likes religious events when they are according to his word and done with sincerity of the heart. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that makes God want to puke are the national days of prayer. You have all these fakes getting up there and all these apostate ministers standing up and offering their prayers. Their prayers are usually not even to God. They're just prayers for the ears of their hearers. They want to impress the people in the building and on television that they're speaking to. They're not really praying, not talking to God. And how many times you hear those prayers and they don't even offer the prayer in Jesus' name? Well, it's not a real prayer. If you don't pray in Jesus' name, and you know that's something that I emphasize here, when you pray, I'm not picking on anybody, but when you pray, we want to know who you're praying to and what name. And so there's times where I've got to say, you know, it's a good prayer, but you know, you should pray in Jesus' name. And well, if for no other reason, just to show you're not ashamed of the name. Because I think a lot of these guys are scared to death to say the name of Jesus. I'm reading a book right now, God and Ronald Reagan, I think is what it's called. And he was far from perfect, and I'm not trying to elevate Ronald Reagan too highly, but I think that people just don't know that the man had the faith that he had. That he was saved as a teenager and baptized and made a very public profession of faith. And we're reading a book that he said was very instrumental in him dedicating his life to serving God. What was it called again? The Printer? The Printer of Udell. And it's about a couple of fellas that are going through the same kind of challenge in life, and life's been hard, and they decide they're going to live for the Lord. And they said when he was a lifeguard, he pulled 77 people drowning out of the water during his career as a lifeguard, wherever that was out there.
Wow.
But he was very open about his faith in Jesus Christ. He wasn't afraid to say the name of Jesus, and there were times where, I don't know if you know this, but any of our recent presidents in recent decades don't write their own speeches.
Yeah.
But then they read them beforehand, and they'll make notes, and they'll cross out things that they certainly don't want to see it or anything. And Ronald Reagan fought numerous times to get the name of Jesus in the speech, and a couple times when they still took it out and gave him a speech or put it on the prompter, he went ahead and said it anyway. And boy, they gave him a hard time. The liberal press gave him a hard time because it had been a long time since we had heard any president refer to anything more than a generic God, you know, the great architect in the sky and that sort of thing. But in Mark 7, Jesus described these hypocrites. He says, "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, we can pick on all the other people and pick on the apostate churches and everything, but do you realize that when you come to church and you don't sing the hymns and pay attention to the words and sing from your heart, that's what you're doing? If you just sing because you think it's a pretty song, that God says He don't want to hear it. Now, I don't know your heart. I can't read your mind and your heart, so I'm not going to tell you. You back there, you stop singing. I can tell you don't mean it. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. But as far as God's concerned, He don't want to hear it. So what do? I know a couple of people who just stop singing. That's the wrong answer.
Amen.
The answer is to stop being such a stiff-necked imbecile.
Amen.
Repent of that wicked heart you have, and sing to the God who saved you from hell.
Amen.
You can't sing, you'd make a good Muslim. You don't find hymn books by a Muslim. You don't find hymn books by any other religion other than pseudo-Christian cults. Why? They don't have anything to sing about.
Yep.
We're saved, past tense. Under the blood, past tense. It's as good as done. The Bible says you right now sitting in a pew. No, you're seated in heavenly places right now.
Amen.
You got something to sing about. So if you're not singing, it's just telling everybody around you, you don't have anything to sing about. There's something wrong with this. Amen.
Amen.
But then if you're singing and you're thinking about fried chicken or, you know, something else you're going to do after church or some girl or some boy or whatever, you know, and I know that's only two or three of you I could be picking on. Although Jim could be singing and thinking about Kim, you know. But when you're singing, you should be thinking about what those words are saying. Because that's the only way it matters to God is when you're singing those words to Him. Amen?
Amen.
That's worship. Him singing is not necessarily worship. It's only worship when you're singing to the Lord from your heart. Well, the verse goes on to say, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. He's not talking about perfume and cologne. He's not saying, I won't even pay attention to how good you smell in that sense of perfume and cologne. And for my sake, as an asthmatic, and any asthmatics, and those with allergies, people in church and in closed places, please don't wear a bunch of that stuff because you choke us. That's not what he's talking about. True worship is a sweet savor, but false worship stinks to God. Scripture with Scripture. Animal sacrifices smell like a delicious barbecue. I'll give a free advertisement. Right now, I think the most wonderful smell is to walk as you're walking into City Barbecue.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I think about it. I tell people, just even if you don't like it, don't like barbecue, get saved. But anyway, if you don't like barbecue, you don't like that, you need to just understand that's what the temple smelled like. And the millennium is going... That millennial temple is going to smell up the whole nation of Israel. I think that smell is just going to waft all over the whole nation of Israel.
I think City Barbecue smells good.
Yeah. City Barbecue is like a tiny little taste of what the millennial kingdom is going to be like. But only when offered from a pure heart to God. See? We got Genesis 8, 20 and 21. Stephen?
Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done.
Amen. So the flood, he wiped out everybody except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And God says, I'm not going to flood the world anymore. And the next time, he's not going to kill everybody but eight. There'll be a remnant of believers. A third of Israel survived. 144,000 will be saved. All their converts will be saved, even though they'll pay for it with their lives. But there is coming another judgment. And that judgment will be because they have worshipped the Antichrist and taken the mark of the beast. But all who reject Jesus Christ in this dispensation are going to that place called hell. But you, as a believer... You represent a sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice that saved you, but then you and I are supposed to become sacrifices. And if you are serving God out of a pure heart, He compares the joy that you give Him to the smell of that wonderful temple barbecue, or the barbecue that Noah was having that Stephen just read about. How many of you ever stood next to the guy grilling and he knows what he's doing, you know, and you can smell that and you're like, oh, you know. That's what God does. Back in the Old Testament system, they'd offer those animals. If it was done by somebody with a pure heart, it's just so sweet. He's doing that. You can make God do that right now in your life. You can make God literally Wouldn't he love to do that? Our tithes and offerings today have the same effect when given cheerfully. When given cheerfully. Who's got 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8? She can read without the microphone. I'm not saying she got a big mouth. I'm just saying she can give it.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
So if you, well, first of all, if you don't give, you're pathetic in God's eyes. He has given His Son to die for your sins. And if you don't give, then God is disappointed with you. So don't be shocked when God doesn't answer all your prayers and that you're miserable. Don't be surprised, because God does not reward rebellion and bad behavior. And if you're not giving, you're rebellious. You're a bad child. And God's a good father. And He's not going to reward you. If He was, He wouldn't be a good father. Amen? These are basics. But if you do give, and you're like, oh, I could use that money for blah, blah, blah. He don't want that either. You're wasting your time. What a thing. Finally, give money, and then you give it because you don't give it cheerfully, and God doesn't respect it. You have to give of faith. Faith, knowing that God has provided everything you have. Just giving back 10% and there, I think that's a minimum. I just have always believed 10% is a minimum. So you give your 10%, and God is going to be pleased if you're giving it because you love Him, not trying to earn salvation, not trying to earn His love. You're simply doing what makes sense. It's your reasonable service to present your entire body as a living sacrifice. It just makes sense. And He'll reward that behavior. I can only tell you I've experienced it. I know He does. I think some of you in this room know the same thing. Amen? Who's got Philippians 4, 18 and 19? Jill?
Yes, sir.
Philippians 4, 18 and 19.
But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Now, who does it say God supplies all their needs to? Givers. I had people come to me and say, I just feel like God doesn't answer my prayer. I said, well, where have you been going to church? What do you mean I come here? You ain't been coming here. Who you been giving God's money to? Well, I give here. It's kind of hard to give if you're not here. And then, you know, that's between you and the Lord, but don't be deceiving, think you're going to deceive the Lord that way. You've been witnessing? How are you doing in your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's you and the Lord? You know, some of them get mad at me for asking. Because they didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted me to tell them it's all right to be a rebellious, spoiled runt.
Yep.
God's okay with you ignoring Him and not doing what He tells you to do. Pat, pat, pat. Be happy. Well, if I didn't love people, that's what I'd do. But we need to be told the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And God, it's made it clear in the passages we read and many other places. that when you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be a giver. Not just cash, I'm talking about everything. You're going to present yourself to God and say, use me. You're going to look for things to do and people to help. You're going to pray for people. You're going to have a heart that loves people. You're going to love being in His Word and talking to others about His Word and telling others about Jesus and on and on. Give begrudgingly, and your tithes and offerings are a stench to God. Did you know that? Verse 22 then says again, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. And when hypocrites sing the old hymns of Zion, it disgusts God. Look at the next verse, verse 23. Read that with me. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. That's even the nice instruments, stringed instruments. It's just noise. I think that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir sounds terrible to God. Because they reject the atonement of Jesus Christ. Their religion teaches that Jesus died to clean the slate so that you could earn your way to heaven. God says that stinks. To think about that. He gave His Son to die for their sins, and they say, no thanks. You cleaned our slate, we'll just do it ourselves. And then they'd come up with this whole religion. Yeah.
They don't even believe Jesus is God.
No. They deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of Christ. They deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. They say He's just a force. They teach works for salvation. They teach all kinds of other unbiblical nonsense. And
Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, He's created and He's offspring of the same Elohim God who was once a man, and so is Lucifer. He's offspring of that same God who was once a man. Yeah, you got to learn what some of these people believe, and you realize, no wonder.
You can baptize dead people.
Yeah. Well, you baptize people for the dead. And you're saving the dead people by baptizing. Like Fred Gith becomes a Mormon, he'll go to the temple once a month and be baptized for a bunch of dead people.
Yep. Brigham Young taught that the saying that as man is, God once was. So you can become God.
And as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become.
Right.
That's the whole statement.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the New Age movement and all this.
Yeah.
So then you have all these people in that choir that to the flesh, which your eardrum is flesh, your brain is flesh. Sounds wonderful. But according to the Bible, he thinks it's noisy. That's true about any Baptist choir. If you got a bunch of adulterers and hypocrites. I was in a church one time where that had to sound very noisy to God because I was dealing with the sin and the effect it was having on so many people in that church, including the song leader, the choir leader, and several of the members of the choir. All unrepentant, involved in moral sin. They sounded good to the ear, but to God it stinks. And it's noisy. And that includes most of modern Christian contemporary music. Got some of the most famous singers today who are all adopting Sodom. Carrie Underwood, Laura Daigle, whoever her name is. One of the biggest singers in the 90s was Ray Bolts. He's now out of the closet queer. And left his wife and has been living down as a queer in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All kinds of these contemporary Christian artists who have come out for Sodom.
Sherry Cady did it.
Who?
I think it was Sherry Cady also did it.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
Somebody said mentioned that.
But then, you know, just listen to the lyrics. The lyrics of a lot of these songs are all about ecumenical ideas. It's all shallow. They rarely sing about Jesus, or they rarely sing about Jesus in a biblical sense. They rarely sing about the gospel. I remember years ago, Wayne Watson was it was Bob Burney who was talking about going to a Wayne Watson concert. He had his beautiful song about the blood of the lamb, and afterwards Pastor Burney went up and asked him, "Why I haven't heard that on the radio or any of your CDs?" He said, "Because they won't let me put them on there." That was in the 90s.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So when you think of worship, if it's not genuine, it's an abomination. There's no middle ground with God. If it's not genuine, it makes Him sick. And that's what He's saying here. Who's got John 4, 23 and 24? Jessica's going to read that. This is Jesus' comment on worship.
"But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth."
The new versions have corrupted that by taking out one single letter. The letter A. It says, the new versions say God is spirit. And that's a pantheistic concept of God. God is a spirit. He is separate from creation. He is not just spirit. That's the idea that tells people that, well, when I'm with Native Americans and they're praying to the great spirit in the sky, or I'm with the Buddhists and they're praying, and I'm with the Hindus and they're praying to whatever, it's all just God, the God spirit. That's a lie from hell.
Amen.
God is a spirit, and if you're going to worship Him, John 3, verses 3 through 7, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit, you must be born again.
Amen.
So when you're born again by faith in the gospel, you can now worship God in the spirit because you have His spirit in you.
Amen.
If you don't have His spirit in you, you're still just flesh. You can't worship in spirit and in truth. How do you worship in the truth? Well, worship in the name of Jesus because He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father
but by me."
Amen. Amos 5:24. Let's read that. "But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream." That's kind of what the millennial kingdom will be like. Judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream, and that's God's will. But Israel rebelled. Look what He says in verses 25, 26. "Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and Kion your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves." If you know anything about those gods, that is sickening. Moloch and Kion involved human sacrifice. Can you say abortion?
Yep.
They'd get that Moloch up there and they'd fire up the fire in the pit of that big idol that was about as big as the whole back room back there. And those arms and that fire get all red hot. And then they'd get the rock music going in the background. Louder, louder. People start chanting and singing and screaming, yelling. Throw babies on the arms of that fiery god and burn them up. And all that noise would drown out the screams of the babies. Who's doing that? Israel.
Yep.
Israel. They adopted the false religion of the unbelievers around in the surrounding nations that we started, remember, in Amos 1 and 2. We talked about those nations. Their wicked, satanic religion. They brought it in. The first Christian martyr in Christian history, Stephen, spelled with a P-H, but that's where you got your name. And not you, but that's a good name to have. Referred to Kion as Rimfan. It's the same God. Scripture was Scripture. Kion and Chiron and Rimban was identified with the planet Saturn. And if you know anything about Saturn, Saturn in the occult was the basically the god of fire. And Acts 7, who's got that? Charles? Acts 7, 42 and 43.
Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.
Saturn worship. Anytime you see that among the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans, it was tied in with Chiron and Remphan. It involved sodomy and human sacrifice in the actual worship that took place. The actual acts, religious acts in the temples. And those were built in Israel, starting with Solomon. Solomon. After that, then others did the same up in the north. God's patience had run its course. For the last verse, verse 27. Read that with me. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity. Wait, you read it with me. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Do you blame him?
No.
He's going to wipe out Israel with Assyria, and they're going to take them beyond Damascus, which if you look on the map, you can't even see it. It's way up in here. And then they would be scattered all over, even beyond the territory of Turkey and up into the southern regions below Russia and elsewhere. And then through the centuries, who knows where a lot of their descendants ended up and everything. In 740 B.C. is when it happened. That's when the Assyrian army first came in. And it came in kind of waves over a period of decades, actually. By 707, it was done. Assyria, we talked about, they would take people from the northern areas and they would put them in different parts of the world. That's a big task, to take a bunch of people and relocate them. And that's what they were doing. That's back before they had helicopters and airplanes and things, you know. So it was a big job. Who's got 2 Kings 15, 27 through 29? Is that Jared?
Yeah.
And this tells you what happened when that verse 27 is fulfilled right here.
In the 250th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abelbeth and Makkah and Genoa and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria.
There's the fulfillment of what we just read in Amos 5:27. And you're living in a country that deserves it right now. So that's why it's a habit of mine to pray and thank the Lord for not giving this nation what it deserves. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your patience, your mercy. Pray that it'll happen after the rapture. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. The only thing we're guaranteed is the judgments of the seals, vials, and trumpets, and that which is listed from Revelation 6 through 19. Those will not be poured out on the church. But America could go the way of any of these other countries who've already gone that way. There's nothing to keep it from happening. So let's close with Romans 16. Just verses 25 through 27. We're going to close with the closing words of the epistle to the church at Rome by Paul. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. I'll give you a chance to get there because I want you to read the odd verses with me, and this is how we'll close the study. So if you're there, well, I'll give you a second to see a few people getting a little slow, start turning your Bibles. But that's where we need the Jeopardy music to play. All right, if you're there, read the odd 25, beginning with verse 25 with me. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. So we have, we go back and we read Amos and we read most of the books in the prophets, and there's a lot of gloom and doom because God's dealing with a very rebellious apostate nation that was split in two, and then the north went quicker than the south, but they both ended up in apostasy. They both were taken into captivity. And we should learn when we read about that. But most people don't even read their Bible in America. So it's no surprise that most Americans are clueless when it comes to the real God, who is holy, who has said that he will not reward sin, who has said that he will judge sin. Most people don't know that God. So we learn from Israel's fall, finish well. I don't have any premonitions, haven't had any dreams or anything to tell you that I'm going to drop dead anytime soon. But as a pastor, once in a while, I just would like to say this. If I do die soon and leave you all here for the rapture, finish well.
Amen.
Don't let a preacher dying, don't let a loss of friendships, as things get darker, you may outlive a lot of us and find yourself with not very many people to fellowship with, like Noah. You should now be preparing so that you will be ready to persist in your faith, in your relationship with the Lord, come what may. Put it in your heart right now. By His grace, by His strength and power, by His Spirit, I will finish the course.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So our next study will start with the next chapter. Let's sing a song, page 485 in your hymn book. Page 485, Revive Us Again.
Amen.
Don't wait for a big hoopla revival. Don't wait for a regional or state or national revival. If that happens, that praise the Lord. What you do is revive yourself before God by allowing Him to totally take control. Be filled with His Spirit. Be filled with His Word. You can be revived if you just stop being stiff-necked. Be soft-hearted toward God. Start being stiff-necked against the world. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, just become an old codger toward this world. You just get a nasty attitude about this world. I am not going to be like you. I'm not going to go your way. I'm not going to do things your way. I'm going to be like what Jesus tells me to be like. And you'll lose a lot of friends and everything, but you'll be happy. And you let God's Spirit take control of you. You can be happy even when the world gets dark. So let's sing about it. All four verses, Revive Us Again.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, times of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, times of glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit.
BBFOhioProtonMail.com. We get your request, but we don't announce it. We keep it private, so we wait till we go offline to pray for those matters. Yeah, we'll be praying for you folks under the tornado warning up northern Ohio, north of us anyway. And we only had one prayer card. Anybody else have any? Okay, well. Glad you all have nothing to pray about. All right. Let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here,
there, in the air.